So maybe just some repeating from last Sunday. I think for me personally, just the word that God has broken up, open for me, myself, on last Sunday, I'll have to repeat it many times in my own life this coming year. So I think I was challenged about what joy looks like in life. What's the source of our joy? And at first, I shared that I felt guilty wanting to be joyful, wanting to be, if I want to use another word, to be happy. And I thought, no, but in the Christian life, I've preached it many times, so I'm asking forgiveness for this. It's just, you just have to pay the price, man. Just toughen up, pay the price, and follow Jesus and obey him. But that's an ungodly way of looking at relationship with Jesus. Jesus wants us joyful. It's right through the word. The Christian faith is a joyful faith. It's not grinding our teeth and, okay, we'll worship, but there's no joy in it. We'll obey, but there's no joy in it. That's no Christian faith. And so for me, it was such a release, just discovering that God wants to see me joyful. The thing that we've said last week, our problem is that we seek joy in the wrong things. And that's why it's up and down. And so we're not talking about superficial joy. We are talking about biblical joy that is rooted in Christ himself. And we've just, maybe I'm just going to read the definition that we shared last week. And then I just want to share two more points down on what I feel God is taking us towards in this year. And it's not something new. It's God is just the same yesterday, tomorrow. So Christian joy is a good feeling in the soul, produced by the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit causes us to see the beauty of Christ. That's Christian joy. And we see it in the Word or in the world. It doesn't mean we don't enjoy the trivial things. Of course, enjoy the surfing, enjoy the cycling or the beautiful couch you bought with your bonus. Enjoy it. But that's not Christian joy. Christian joy is when the Holy Spirit opens up our eyes, our heart, our ears to see Jesus for who he is. And when we see that, joy comes. And the one thing that I just want to encourage us with, that type of joy is not able, you are not able to generate it yourself. Neither me, no one of us. That's why it is a fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces this fruit in our life. Thank God we don't have to produce the fruit. The Bible says we only bear it. It's him that produces it in us. And that's why I think last year, the last 6 months, God is talking to us about what? Intimacy with him. It's only from that intimate place where joy comes, Christian joy comes. No other way sustainable joy will be with us. That's the type of joy, I said, that takes us through 20 years of Parkinson's. That's the type of joy that takes us through losing our husband, our business going financially the wrong way. Paul says, this is the joy that keeps me singing in jail. This is the joy we're talking about. And so that is what we've spoken about last year, last week. Just maybe one point on it again is that Paul says, my biggest joy is when I die. And I thought, how can death, most of us, we don't want to die, we want to stay here. Paul says, I'm longing to die. He says it in different words. He says it in Philippians 1, verse 20 to 23, if you don't want to believe me. The question is, how can he say this? He says, whether I should live or whether I should die, I don't know which one to choose. And the reason is, because then he will experience the fullest presence of his treasure, Jesus, after death. And that is, so dying joyfully is a biblical principle because it's taking us to our treasure. think last year with Cassie's seminar, Matthew 13 challenged me. It says, the kingdom of God works in the following way. Someone discovers, a treasure in a field. He buries it. Then, the Afrikaans say, oorstelpt van vreugde, overwhelmed with joy, he goes and sells everything. So joy comes when we see the true nature of Jesus. And then we compare what we have with that and we see it's nothing. He says, in that same scripture, Paul says, I count it as worthless because it cannot compare with Jesus. C.S. Lewis writes that we are so easily satisfied. We get joyful about trivial things. But God has much more than that for us. And may God help us in this year to discover who Jesus really is. And this is what Paul writes in Philippians. I'm not going to talk too much about it this morning. I just want to say a few things about it. What is foundational to this joy for Paul? And as he writes the letter of Philippians, he doesn't suggest be joyful. He commands, be joyful. I repeat, be joyful. It's a command to be joyful. And then you wonder, but Paul, how do you do this? And Paul says in chapter 4, I think it's verse 13, he says, I know what it is to have everything and what it is to have nothing. And to be content in it. And then he says, I've learned the secret. And I'm thinking, so what is the secret to have much and to compare it with Christ and say, this is nothing. I won't have pride in this. I won't enjoy it too much. Whether I've got much or whether I've got nothing. This, what I'm longing for, is nothing in comparison to what I've already got. Jesus. This, what I have, is nothing. Whether I've got nothing or whether I've got much, I'm content. And he says, I've learned the secret. And I just want to, and the secret is Jesus Christ. He says it in Colossians. So just something on Colossians. Maybe you should read it. I'm going to read it, Colossians 2 verse 2, the only scripture we'll read. Got only Afrikaans Bible here. Just read Colossians 2 verse 2. And then two things that you find right through the letter of Philippians that Paul is talking about consistently. And this is, as his eyes has opened up to these two things, he started seeing Jesus for who he is. And that's why he has discovered Jesus, which is the secret which brings contentment in much or little. Colossians, let's read Colossians 2 verse 2. 2 verse 2. Maybe I should read from verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God. So he wants the congregation of Colossians to understand the full mystery of God. Mystery, can we see? Geheim, there's a secret here. There's a treasure that Paul wants them to discover. And then he ends this verse. He says, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, which is Christ. So the secret of contentment, the secret of joy, is discovering Christ. The same thing we said last week. So the secret Paul is talking about in Philippians 4, when he says, and I was just having my tongue in my cheek when I thought of the ways we use Philippians 3, verse 16. Is it verse 16? I can do all, 13. I can do all things through Christ. The context of it is, I've got much or little, and Jesus stays my treasure. So the Bible encourages us, this is not unattainable. This is not wishful thinking. If we allow the Spirit, it can be done, Paul says. I can do all things. I can do this thing. I can be joyful in Jesus alone and not needing anything else. It is possible. So the two things that you see right through Philippians, and we'll end off with this, as Paul is writing, and John has quoted one of the scriptures when he prayed for Kristen. He says, I am full of assurance that God will continue the work that ye have started in you. Paul, right through the scriptures of Philippians, he ends in verse 4:19, he ends, he says, I am sure God will provide in all your needs. Paul believes in the supremacy of Jesus. Without seeing the supremacy of Jesus, he says in, I think, chapter 3, I can't remember the verse, he says, he is able to subdue everything before him. If we open up the word and discover that Jesus is supreme, doesn't matter how it goes, what happens, whether it feels here or there, he's in control. And this is something that you cannot get to your heart through your mind. It comes by the Spirit to your heart. It is spending time in the Word. The Spirit has inspired the Word as we study the Word on our own or together. The Spirit opens up our heart to see and to taste that Jesus is supreme, He's in control, whether coronavirus kills or not. Jesus is in control. He's working out His plan for your good. And I mean, just mentally, this is a lot of nonsense. Mentally, you think about this as a Christian, that is absolute nonsense, which I agree. If you want to see it through your mind, it's impossible. It's only the Spirit of God that can open up our hearts, that it settles like weight in our lives. And we know Jesus is supreme over everything. He comes back. He will rule. Everything will be restored. And that is where He's inviting us when He says, come and follow me on the way. This is where I'm taking you. And I agree with John. This is the second point. It's not only the victory at the end. He writes through the message of Philippians. He writes through it. He is tasting the sweetness. Or someone else said this morning, he just loves popcorn. It's salty. And Jesus is sweet and salty. And he says, in that moment of desperate bitterness and longing, it's not only my knowing that Jesus is coming through on the end and everything will be restored. It is Him present in me, with me, tasting that He is sweet and salty in the moment when sorrow wants to overwhelm us. That's Paul's main reason why he sees Jesus as his treasure, and why Jesus is the mystery where we will find supreme joy that takes us through everything. I hope it's all right like that. We are looking through the scriptures for Jesus, God, the Supreme One. Search for it. It's on every page. You won't turn a page without reading. I am sure about this. I know God will do this. You won't turn a page to see God like that. And the uncertainty of this life and the carnal mind wants you to lead you away from that. It's only by the Spirit you will see God in that way. And if you see Him in that way, He becomes sweet and salty and beautiful, and you see Him for who He is. And as we taste Him in that bitter season, we also have the hope for the future, where everything will be restored. I'm closing with Revelations. Me and Brett meeting on Friday morning, we just had fellowship together. Yeah, it was so beautiful. He read a scripture for me. The whole book of Revelation is about Jesus and His kingdom. And His kingdom coming. The current one and the kingdom coming. The consummation of the kingdom that He already started. And after everything in chapter 22, it says, Die gees en die bruid sê toe, kom. En elkeen wat dit hoor, moet sê, kom. En elkeen wat dors het, moet kom. Elkeen wat smag na die lewende water, moet kom haal. Dis verniet. And there's a few things I just want to leave with that scripture. If you hear it this morning, the scripture encourages you to come. Ask the Holy Spirit to open up your heart to see Jesus' supremacy and his beauty. We cannot see it through our mind. We've said that. So there's one thing that it is the Spirit of God. The Spirit says, come. But there's something in there that just blew my mind. There's something he says, everyone that heard this voice and tasted it should say, come. May God help us in this year to say, come to other people. And I think if we are just honest and just brutal with the gospel, if we are not saying come to other people, there is a question whether we have tasted and seen. If he creates supreme joy about every other thing, if you experience something joyful, you invite others to come along. And we have to ask God to open up our eyes, our youth, that Jesus is joyful. He wants us to be joyful. He wants us to be joyful when we praise. What does he say about giving? God loves a cheerful giver. There's nothing in the word that Jesus invites us to that doesn't come with joy. May God help us. Let us pray. Father, in these moments, we are so desperate for your Holy Spirit to work amongst us, to work in us, Lord. And I pray, Father, for each one of us that have tasted and that have seen and have heard things that was unavailable for us when we were in the kingdom of darkness. I pray, Lord, that we will rediscover you as our treasure if you are not. Thank you that there is a discovery of you as the treasure until heaven comes. We will never see you completely in this life. And thank you that we can continue on this journey without judgment or condemnation, but with joy, tasting and seeing more of you. I pray, Lord Jesus, that we will get up in the morning and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let all of us rejoice. Help us to see you, Jesus. Help us to see you. Help us to taste you. In Jesus' name. I pray this morning, Father, if there's anyone amongst us that hasn't seen you, Lord, we know that we need you to see you. And I pray, Lord, will you grant what you command this morning? Will you open up hearts and eyes? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, let there be real biblical joy amongst us as a community. And will that joy overflow that we will invite others and say, come, come, all who is thirsty, come and taste, come and see. And Lord, we are not inviting people to church. We invite people to you, Lord, where they are, where we are, Lord Jesus. Help us to take church to the world, not expecting people to come to the church. Send us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.